Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Another nice day. We're not too hot, not too humid. Little breezy, so the nice weather continues. Got a little bit of a chance of rain for a couple of days, but it looks like by the weekend that is gone, and we're still below 90, so that's always good as we get ready for the Georgia Bulldogs to come in. We'll talk about that. It's the start of basketball season, basketball practice getting started. Bruce Pearl met with the media earlier today. If we have an opportunity, we'll let you hear some of his comments there about this, man, new-look team. But isn't everybody just about now? I mean, massive turnover. We talk about it in football where Auburn had half the roster new. Well, in basketball, if you have half the roster back, that's considered an amazing stat these days. But yeah, we'll let you hear some comments from Bruce Pearl a little bit later on. Love to hear from you. Let's see. Dan is going to be Skyping in here shortly, as once again, today is another day where there is a viewing window for the media for football practice. And again, one of the things that's going to be really interesting to look for is who's out there. I mean, Auburn was able to get most of the players back last week that had been listed as, you know, questionable, but another physical week took its toll, and we know that Damari Alston is out for a while with a dislocated shoulder, so he probably won't be back, you know, for a few weeks. But the other ones you wonder about, with, you know, Donovan Kaufman having leave the ball game after missing the Samford game, after suffering a concussion in the Cal game. And yesterday, Hugh Freeze talking about, you know, the how deep Auburn had to go on the depth chart there in the secondary with J.D. Rehm not available. You saw Zion Puckett, you know, leave the game. And Auburn just a pretty beat-up team as the number one Bulldogs come in town this weekend. So that'll be one of the things I'm sure that Dan and the media will be looking for, is just seeing who is out there practicing. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of eyes, again, on the quarterback spot. Yesterday, Hugh Freeze said probably going to continue rolling keep the status quo, that is, if you will, but at quarterback, meaning probably Peyton Thorne will be the starter. But I think a lot of folks will be watching and just seeing if Robbie Ashford during the media window is getting as much work with the ones as Peyton is, and maybe if Holden Gerner gets any work with the ones. But we will check in with Dan here shortly. We'd love to hear from you. If you didn't get a chance to get through yesterday, because we had calls wall to wall yesterday with folks wanting to give us their thoughts after the 27-10 loss to Texas A&M. If you didn't get a chance to get through, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you did and you've had some, 24 more hours to think about things, maybe go back and look. I have not had a chance to watch the entire game, the video of the entire game. Again, we were out there, and I've watched most of the first half is all I've had a chance to watch thus far. Of course, that was the good part for Auburn. I mean, Auburn moved the ball all right in the first half. Couldn't cash in, though. And, troubling that they could cross midfield but then not even be in field goal range a few times. But But yeah, we'd love your thoughts on that if you want to join in. 334-321-1390 is the phone number, or you can text us on the Drive text box, and that number is 334-564-1840 in the Drive text box, brought to you by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Again, anything you want to talk about sports-wise, Auburn, about a, it's, you know, moving, depending on where you look, around 15-point underdog against Georgia. And I know that I've already heard that some Georgia folks, I guess maybe not some Georgia folks, Aaron Murray wondering, what do the odds makers know? Is somebody going to miss for Georgia? Aaron Murray this morning saying, that's ridiculous that Georgia's not more than a 15-point favorite. Well, Georgia's gotten up to slow starts in every ballgame this season. And look, I'm absolutely not saying Georgia couldn't come in here and really hand it to Auburn. I mean, the last couple of years, they have. And they could once again. And there's but it is what it is as far as the line's concerned at around 15. Of course, Aaron can't get over – he just can't get over – you know, Auburn, ever since the Nick Fairley hit on him, and Auburn, I think, then winning the national title after Georgia hadn't done it. Now they have, of course, they won back-to-back. Just get over it. But yeah, that's the way it looks going in. A lot of questions for Auburn right now. And, you know, the passing game, just passing game's really struggled. Do you really expect Auburn to be able to break out in the passing department when it's been six games ago, Power 5-wise, that Auburn passed for over 100 yards? I can't imagine. I wonder if there's another team in the country that has a streak like that going. Unable to pass for over 100 yards in five straight games against Power 5 competition. That is that's really hard to believe. You would think every once in a while you just luck into a deep pass, you know, and get you 50, you know, get you half of it, and then you'd be able to get some more. But that's the way it's been for Auburn. So they'll get back to the drawing board. And, again, media viewing window will be coming up, I believe, in about a half an hour. So Dan should be checking in anytime on Skype, and we'll get his thoughts as to what he's going to be looking for over there. One question that I had, the team's on the other end, it's really hard to tell who's in, if their backs, you know, if they're coming towards you, but they're on the other end of the field, you can't really tell who all's in. I didn't see much of Jeremiah Cobb, and that I thought was a little surprising with Damari Alston having to leave the ball game in the second quarter. So just wondered why he didn't play more. Maybe it was a thought of, you know, he's a freshman in his first road conference game, you know, first conference game, as a matter of fact, and didn't want to take chances or something. That would sort of be hard to understand, because he has been very electric when the ball's been in his hands. But you would sure figure that with Alston out and Jarquez Hunter, you know, still trying to round into form, although I thought he ran the ball much better against A&M last week, that Jeremiah Cobb's going to get more opportunities, get more touches. Brian Battee got a few more last week. And, again, he is very dangerous. He was fun to watch from our perspective, because we were like right behind and high up. But, I mean, you could see there'd be a little bit of a hole and he'd step into it and put a move. And I don't know that the first guy made the tackle on him on one of his touches. So, you know, he will get the ball more too. I'm, again, surprised at some things we haven't seen. And love you, our listeners' thoughts on this as well. We talked a little yesterday about hot reads and wondering, does Auburn have those? When Dan was pointing out the play where A&M crept a guy up on the outside and he was pointed at by both the receiver and Dylan Wade, and I couldn't see that while it was going on from my perspective in the stadium, but that and just getting the ball to guys like Brian Battee and Jeremiah Cobb in space would seem like that would be very advantageous for Auburn to try to do, because they're guys that can make that first tackler miss. So just wondering about some things like that. And, you know, if we're going to see some, because if you try to rely on deeper drops or more deeper developing passes, you're asking for trouble, and that's where Auburn really got into it this past week against A&M. 334-321-1390. That is the number to get you through on the phones. Before we do that, though, we will head to the computer and welcome in Dan Peck, who's Skyping in. Dan, another nice day for a viewing window.
Yeah, let me out of this computer. Help me out, Bill. It's an exciting. I'm getting a bit of an echo too. I think it's better now. Okay. It's a beautiful day. I was worried about, it seemed like maybe some storms were going to threaten a little earlier, but it seems like we're going to get gorgeous weather for this this viewing window, and it's an important time for Auburn with Georgia on the horizon. As to the point you were just making, Bill, about Auburn's offense and the approach they're going to take on Saturday against A&M, I would assume if they stick with Peyton Thorne, there has to be an emphasis on simplifying it to get rid of the ball.
Quick.
Cannot be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't think it needs to be overly quick passes. A lot of that can be outside runs. A lot of that can be halfback draws up the middle, screens. Like, there are ways to do it. But I think the emphasis has to be, it needs to be a special occasion for a deep drop back or a ball that you're expecting to take downfield. And you're going to need to find ways. And maybe you break a tackle or turn a small play into a big one, especially on the ground. I just don't think you can set Peyton Thorne up. It reminds me, we've mentioned this game a couple of times, a little bit like Clemson in 17, right? Like you can't have an offense that's expecting to have a lot of time to operate in the passing game if you don't have the personnel, not just an offensive line or at quarterback or at receiver, but all sort of working in concert. If you don't have those kind of players, maybe it's time for a readjustment as far as what you're trying to do.
Well, and the other thing, and we haven't talked about this as much, but the other thing is keeping the defense off balance. I mean, if you're so predictable that they've got an idea what play or two you might be running on every play, it's going to be a whole lot tougher for you to execute those.
And it's so tempting to run on first down every time because you have running backs you feel good about and you don't want to take a negative play like a sack or even an incompletion on first and 10, or you're sort of working from behind as soon as you get to second down. So I get why Auburn would want to run the ball on first down a lot. The problem is so do opposing defensive coordinators, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, and if you're afraid to throw the ball on first or second down, you're going to probably be in trouble on third down.
Yeah, I mean, especially if it's like five or longer, and it probably will be.
Well,
if they
know you're running
days
it on first and second down, you've got to have really, really good running backs or really good blocking because that's what Auburn sees an awful lot, 7-8 guys, lined up there in the box.
I wonder if Auburn, and again, I'm in no position. I said this on the Observer podcast, Bill. I'm as qualified to like offer suggestions for fixing the Auburn offense. We might as well sit table side at like a championship chess match and yell like, hey, move the knight to the, like, these guys know more than me about this. Kent Austin is more familiar with how to solve this problem than I am, and Philip Montgomery and Hugh Freeze, etc. I do wonder if they could look back on the stuff that worked when Peyton was at Michigan State and try to crib from that as much as possible. If you're trying to get the most out of Peyton Thorne, maybe go back and let what worked for Peyton at Michigan State at his best influence what you're doing now, because it does seem like it's been a rough transition for Peyton Thorne to make the switch to what the Hugh Freeze offense entails.
And again, is it the Hugh Freeze offense? Is it the Philip Montgomery offense? Whatever, that brings up a great question to ask of Hugh Freeze, and that is, have they tailored or have they looked at what worked for Peyton Thorne at Michigan State and done anything? Or is it, no, it's up to Peyton to change and do what we want?
That is interesting because, I mean, I would think that you would expect the quarterback, to run the offense as expected at the same time. you know, it's probably smart coaching to tailor the offense to what the quarterback is good at. And agreed. I can't imagine that what was happening on Saturday was perfectly tailored for Peyton Thorne. But I don't want to let Peyton Thorne off the hook, because there were times when he had a pocket and an open receiver and the ball didn't get there. And that's not something coaches can fix without maybe trying a different guy throwing the ball.
That's a very good point. I mean, so I don't know what the viewing window is going to give you on that today, but I mean, there are definitely some interesting things to be looking for. Oh, we've got a call, don't we? Yeah, I'll tell you.
I'm curious before I let you go, Bill. I'm curious to see if Robbie or Holden are more involved than we've seen
right.
in weeks prior.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Everybody wants to see that, and then you want to see the walking wounded. Who's able to go out there?
And, you know, and again, every week the passing game underwhelms. I'm interested to see what they're thinking at wide receiver and who needs to be out there. We haven't seen Mardner with the ones. We haven't seen Caleb Burton with the ones. I mean, how much of this is on the receivers, and how much of it do they think could be fixed by trying different personnel?
That's a very good point. Well, enjoy and hopefully hear from you after the viewing window. Get some insight as to what you saw at practice.
Looking forward to it, Bill. I will talk to you next hour.
All righty. Before we get to break, though, let's go ahead and get
right into this. Hey, speaking of Holden, here's kind of my thoughts on it. The next 2 to 3 weeks are going to be difficult. Nonetheless, you certainly don't want to throw a redshirt freshman into that kind of realm. But let's just say Georgia gets out of hand. Let's just say LSU gets out of hand. Let's just say Ole Miss gets out of hand. My God, the best-looking passer I saw out there last weekend was Holt. Let's say he gets some reps in the next 3 games. Things don't go the way they want them to. But he gets some reps the next 3 games, and all of a sudden we got Mississippi State. Why doesn't Holden go start? And then he goes to Vandy and starts. And then, and forgive me, I'm not sure that I've got the schedule. I don't have it in front of me. But let's say he starts Mississippi State. We can beat. Let's say he starts Vandy in Nashville. We can beat. Let's say he starts New Mexico. We can beat. We got a brand new quarterback who I think throws the ball better than Peyton Thorne, throws the ball better than Robbie. He doesn't have Robbie's athleticism. But, man, we've gone on a 3-game streak. We're rolling in the Iron Bowl. I mean, do you think that's a possibility? I mean, I just think Coach would like to have a new guy that could start the next few years in there. I think it's a opportunity that we'd be foolish not to look at.
Well, I do think if your first scenarios, if things get out of hand here in the next couple of ball games, then you're going to see a different rotation or a different order out there on the field. And if things were to go south like that, and Auburn were to lose the next 3 and be 3-4, then you're absolutely, you know, looking at every possibility that there is.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't feel good about going into Georgia this weekend. I don't feel good about going to Baton Rouge. I mean, I hope for the best, but you got to plan for the worst. And look, Coach Freeze has said it himself. You know, this is not – we are 2 to 3 years – outmanned compared to Georgia and LSU and Alabama. We got to prepare for the future. I mean, we got to take it back a little bit to Coach Dye and Tuberville days, where we got to rebuild our troops up. And I just don't think we're there right now. And I hope the best for Peyton Thorne, and I hope the best for Robbie. And honestly, I think Robbie's probably our best option right now. But, man, let's prep for the next 2 to 3 years or 5 years, as opposed to praying for something that I don't think is going to happen. I think Holden's got a better ceiling when it comes to a passing game than what we have currently.
Well, it's a very tough situation that you have with the expectation of immediate gratification, and you want success. And I think most coaches realize you can't just punt this year trying to start developing. You're trying to win, and you're trying to hang on to your young talent and develop them. So it's a tough situation. So I think it's you'd have to get to where you were saying. I You don't want to just go ahead and flip things right now. If they still, they made the decision on who they felt was the best guy. He's going to get another shot. If it doesn't work here, you've got an open date before you go to LSU and Baton Rouge. Yep. You might have time to be able to change some things then. But this is not, I don't think this is the time right now to do that. But that's some very good points, OG.
Now, I appreciate it, Bill, and you read my mind. I went with the caveat that if things don't go well against Georgia, look, I hope the current game plan goes great. But just looking at the way things went,
oh, yeah, it's
A&M, I am not.
But you never know. I mean, that's the thing. You never know, and it's back at home, and maybe it's a home road kind of thing. I guess we'll find out Saturday afternoon.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Y'all have a good day.
Appreciate the call. Andy Burcham about to join me here as we need to get to our first break. I know we're running late. Wanted to go ahead and get to that call since he'd been hanging on for a while. Stick with us. Matter of fact, come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Attention large property owners and event.
Bill and Drew here in the studio, joined by the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham. Andy, how you doing today?
Afternoon. Beautiful day.
It is. It is. I mean, we're having much more pleasant weather than we have. A lot of times at the beginning of the fall.
Spent this afternoon at Neville Arena for the basketball press conference with Coach Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
He and I then did a sit-down that we will use for the Talking Tigers podcast that will air on Monday. And part of that interview, the video part of it, will also be used when they announce War Eagle Plus coming up soon.
Right.
And then watch some of the basketball practice.
What'd you think? I mean, just seen one time, but because a lot of times it's going on, you know, while we're either here or about to get on the air. It's an intriguing combination of players that have come from a lot of different places. I like everything I've heard thus far about so many of the new players.
As excited as I am about the new players, and I think they will give Auburn some different options, I think the absolute key to all of this was Jani Broome coming back.
Oh, yes.
In the middle of that Auburn offense and defense down at the bottom, I like what I've seen thus far from the point guards.
Yeah, with Aiden Holloway added.
Yeah, and he is smooth, and he is everything that, you know, we have expected. Trey's not ready to give that up either.
I'm sure he's not.
I've watched him. I get the idea he's taken on more of a leadership role in his sophomore season now at Auburn with the opportunity to be Auburn's starting point guard. They like what they see out of Denver Bryant. They feel that he is going to give them the outside shooting consistency that they lacked last year. Chaney is an incredible athlete. I mean, an astounding athlete.
Chaney's the one that was 6'2", right?
Yes, he was 6'2" coming out of high school, and he's 6'7" now, and is an incredible athlete, comes to Auburn from North Alabama. He is fighting with Jalen Williams for that starting four spot right now. So, yeah, there are some options that Bruce Pearl and his staff have. It's going to be intriguing to watch this team as it develops. And it's going to need to develop quick because the non-conference schedule this year, Bill,
jump right in.
My goodness, when you have USC and Virginia Tech coming to your place, and you go to Atlanta to face Indiana, you go to Brooklyn to face Notre Dame, then possibly Oklahoma State,
and then you started in the Dakotas
and
with Baylor.
Yeah, you start the entire year with Baylor on the road in a neutral site game. And then you go to Appalachian State. That will not be an easy game. Mm-hmm. You play UNC Asheville in Huntsville in a game that's already sold out. Good luck trying to find a ticket to the game at the Von Braun Center in Huntsville. It's going to be a fun non-conference season. And then, oh, by the way, the SEC starts in January. So, boy, this team will be tested and tested early.
And I sort of like that. I mean, it's
too.
You know, as long as you stay healthy, it should be really, right, you know, getting you ready for the grind of the SEC.
I agree. And Auburn has added some new faces from the portal. Holloway comes in, of course, from that gives you that freshman guy that, you know, another one of these five-star guys that Auburn's been able to get almost on a yearly basis. Most have been one and dones. for Auburn. So yeah, this is gonna be a fun team to watch. A lot of fun to watch. I've talked about last year's team a little bit. You know that things have changed at Auburn when we're disappointed in a team that goes to the second round of the NCAA tournament,
right,
and leads the number two team in the country by 10 points at halftime in that game. That's a that was a little bit of a drive.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Things have changed a little bit under Bruce Pearl.
They really have. Yeah. And then, I mean, Trey Donaldson, really, I mean, he was fabulous.
Well, he had the game of his life against Iowa.
And, you know, think about this. This is the first year he has been just basketball, because he was a combo player, an outstanding football player as well.
Really good safety. And, yeah, so he's been able to concentrate on basketball mm-hmm. now for his second year. And I've just watched him in some of the preseason workouts and watched him today. He looks like a floor general to me, Bill. And maybe I'm hoping that's the case for Trey and this team. I like what I've seen, especially at that point guard spot for this ball club early on.
And that's key. No question about it. Andy Burcham with me here in the studio. Mm-hmm. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Yes, we'll talk some football. We'd love for you to join in as well. If you have a question or comment, 334-321-1390, or you can text us, the Drive text box, 334-564-1840. Stick on the Tuesday Drive.
Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon, 24 minutes away from 5 o'clock. Andy Burcham, the voice of the Auburn Tigers, joining me here in the studio. And Andy, let's take a quick look back at this past Saturday in Texas A&M at College Station against Texas A&M. Auburn had some chances.
Yes,
Hugh Freeze talked about that a little yesterday. They had some chances there in the first half.
Moved the ball, other than the opening drive.
Right.
Really moved the ball well and had the ball in Texas A&M territory regularly. Now, it never did get to the red zone.
Nope.
Ever. And then we saw penalties and just drives that stalled.
Mistakes.
For
right.
Auburn. Yeah. And that was frustrating. But for the most part, Auburn at least moved the football, controlled the clock in the second quarter. Because after the first quarter, it had been decidedly A&M. And that's a concern on a day when you're thin
and
your defense
hot.
And it's 100 degrees on the field. That seemed to even out. The thing that I was disappointed about the most was after the 53-yard field goal by McPherson almost going into the locker room. It's 6-3, okay? We all feel at that point, man, it could be a lot worse.
And you're getting the ball to start
exactly.
the second half.
You're getting the ball to start the second half. And on the first two drives, Auburn goes 3-and-out. And then Max Johnson comes into the game and on two straight drives looks like a world beater.
Right.
And they get two touchdowns, boom, boom. He throws one to his brother. And Auburn just didn't respond to it until it gets the break. Really a good play by Canley to knock the ball loose, and then Eugene Asante takes the ball to the end zone, running inside Jimbo Fisher, between Jimbo right. and the sideline, for the touchdown. And then it's a 10-point game. And Auburn moves the ball in the fourth quarter and gets the ball in field goal range and gets called for a hold that knocks them out of field goal range. And that's when the game seemed to end.
Right.
At that point.
Auburn had to get a score there, Bill. A score. It didn't matter. A field goal gets you within 7.
I agree. And you come away with nothing there. You punt the ball away, and then they get the long run
right.
and the touchdown, and the game's over at that point. The offense right now is... It's a puzzle for Auburn at this point. We I'm not giving you anything that I'm sure that you didn't talk about ad nauseum during the show yesterday, and I listened to a little bit of it driving home. The quarterback role still seems to be up in the air right now.
Mm-hmm.
Losing to Mari Alston doesn't help you there with the run game. And now you come in with an even better defense – and the 2-time defending national champs, at least it's at your place
right.
on Saturday afternoon. And that's about all the answers that I have at this moment. I mean, I was there for the presser yesterday with Coach Freeze, and he was asked point blank, what are you going to do at quarterback at this point? And it sounds like Auburn's going to stick with Peyton Thorne, at least for this game going in.
Well, you roll them out there and you see how things go. Sure. You want to – I was just talking with a caller a couple minutes ago. You want to find out, is it a home road kind of thing? I mean, I don't know that –
I don't know that
that's the case. But, I mean, you need to find out, and you need to see if – well, it's a one-off type thing because this staff – decided on who their starting quarterback was. And I don't think it was just, they didn't just play, you know, odd man or flipping coins or anything. And you stick with your guy. Now, if it doesn't work again, and look, this is against Georgia. I'm not saying if you don't beat Georgia, but if you don't see some improvement when opportunities are there, you have to capitalize. And that's something Auburn didn't do. There were passes that you would feel an SEC starting quarterback should make that weren't made. If something like that happens, then you've got an open date and you can right. You can reassess. And he hinted at that, talking about the open date, the first sort of two seasons. You've got the first few games, you've got an open date. That's when you assess, you know, where are you? Are you meeting expectations or positions coming along the way you would
expect. It was a bit of a struggle up front, too.
It was.
I mean, Auburn gave up 7 sacks and had some penalties that just stalled drives.
It was surprising, though, because they run blocked pretty well.
Yeah.
But the pass protection.
Pass protection was not the best, and perhaps the quarterbacks didn't take advantage enough
mm-hmm.
of the pass protection that it had. It wasn't a good game for the offense, period.
Oh, no. No.
Period.
No, 200 yards total offense right. is. That's not going to win you a lot of ball games.
Not in the SEC.
Auburn's fortunate that they won a game with 230.
Right.
At Cal.
So I wish I had answers. I don't.
Well, we'll start finding out.
I didn't see anything different than you didn't see.
Well, you did see. Well, at least you had a little better perspective. That's it. We are
up in the air there, man. That is.
It is.
I think that's as high as we are. Literally.
That is the tallest press box.
Yeah, we are at the.
Because it's just under the lights, right. folks. It's up above the highest seats.
We are at the top of the east side of the stadium. Originally, we were about the same spot the TV is. We were on the other side. I'm sure mm-hmm. some folks perhaps were watching the game and listened to me, and they're like, you don't know the difference between right and left. Well, it was my right and left. It was a TV in the game.
That would really be confusing if you tried to call it Oppo.
Yeah, exactly. And but you have a great view there. But, yeah, we're up in the air a little bit. There's only two other places that might be comparable. And that's Tennessee.
You're up. I was going to say Knoxville. You're up there.
And it's been a long time since it's been a long time since Auburn played there. I don't know. Have we played there since 2004? Yeah, we have in 2013. I didn't go to that trip.
Yeah,
I stayed here and did men's basketball that Friday night. So I didn't make that trip.
Yeah, it's still way Florida, up there. In Knoxville.
Florida, you're up there too, but not as.
I think Knoxville and College Station are the two highest I've ever been to.
It's a nice booth.
It is, and nice folks. I mean, it really is.
I enjoy College Station for a number of reasons. I love the brisket, and we saw you at dinner.
Oh yeah,
on Friday night.
I found another place next time.
Okay, good.
If we're back out there.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. The folks are incredibly hospitable before and after games, and I've said that after times that Auburn has gone there and won, not just after a loss. I enjoy going to College Station. I get to go back twice more. I go back for men's basketball, and we're there for a baseball series.
I'll tell you what I will not do is I will not drive back there.
Yeah.
Driving through Houston was a nightmare.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. But other than that, no, it was a great trip. Yeah. We found a great place. Folks are fabulous.
Yeah. I was impressed with Mac Johnson coming off the bench.
I've always liked
for
Max
A&M. I was impressed with what he did, especially those two series.
He stands in the pocket very well. Quarter. He is very good at keeping his eyes downfield. Doesn't hurt that Dad was a pretty good quarterback.
Agreed.
But I mean, he's tough and he runs the ball pretty well too when he has to.
I was impressed and not surprised at how well A&M played up front defensively.
No, nor was I.
And now Auburn will get a defense that's even better.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Dogs. Now, it's not quite the sweetness of the rivalry that Auburn has with Texas A&M, nor the way it used to be.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's as sweet as it used to be.
No, it's not anywhere near.
No.
Not anywhere near. We'll talk about that and more. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390, as we head to our final break of hour number one on the Tuesday Drive.
At Dixie Electric
and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of hour number one of the Tuesday Drive. Bill, Andy Burcham, Drew at the controls, and let's get to the phones. And Terry is up first. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill. Good afternoon, Andy. How y'all doing?
Hi, Terry. How are you today?
Pretty good. I want to ask you a question. You guys were talking a little bit about the arenas. I've always been curious, when calling basketball, is there any place where the fans are just worse and security is no help whatsoever?
Fans are right on top of you at Florida.
I was going to say, Gainesville is the first place that comes to mind.
They're as close as they're anywhere. Now, I mean, they're right behind us at Auburn, but it's the Auburn, the jungle, so that's different. They rushed the court at Arkansas 2 years ago, so much so, and completely went to the court and surrounded us, so much so that we did not get Bruce on the postgame show at Arkansas.
Oh, my goodness.
2 years ago. And then we followed that up by going to Florida, and they won, and they rushed the court, too. Now, Bruce came out for that one. Hey, listen, there's going to be fans close to you. But at Florida, especially at Florida, because they are literally right behind you. There's a railing there that keeps them from just jumping right on top of you. But
yeah, back when O'Connell first opened, I was doing a women's game and got unplugged by the fans. Yeah.
So is the basketball arena like the football field too? Because I always heard that's the way they were there. They were on top of you.
I think they're pretty close at Florida Field. I think they're pretty close to you at the Swamp.
Still, you never have the access in football that you do in basketball,
right?
Because you're there. You're exposed.
Those are the two that come to mind right now.
I kind of expect you to say LSU, honestly.
Well, LSU is, Baton Rouge at night, if you're talking basketball. And one thing... It's so different when you go from from football to baseball in Baton Rouge. It's like a different base all the way around.
I've heard stories about the fans being upset after a win, and after a win, they're upset at rocking the buses of opposing teams' bands.
Yeah, that's it's been a while since that happened. That happened near the turn of the century.
Yeah, and then,
literally,
yeah, you're
the
right.
Turn of the century.
Appreciate it, guys. You have a good afternoon.
All right, Terry. Thanks. Appreciate the call. All right, the Dogs coming in this week. We were talking about it a little bit, and your early memories with Georgia were before this thing had has turned. It is much more bitter.
Yeah,
feelings between Auburn and Georgia.
I don't have
a
reason for that, but I don't know what the reason is. But yeah, I get the sense that this rivalry has taken more of a turn.
When I was in school,
sure.
And then when I came, when we came back to Auburn, Georgia was probably the most favorite road trip for any Auburn fan. People would tailgate and just,
yeah.
That's back when you had such the crossover between the two schools, Vince Dooley going to Georgia as head coach, Pat Dyer, Shug had spent time at Georgia, and you had Jeff Beer. I mean, and so many folks from Auburn went to Georgia and vice versa.
Right.
And there were so many Georgia students at Auburn. It seemed like it was sort of a family type thing.
I've heard too many stories
doesn't feel like that anymore.
The other way now. No, I agree.
It's not a fun place to go as an Auburn fan anymore.
Well,
I mean, no, you go and there's people talk. Some people mention LSU or Florida or things like that. I never hear things like, right. We heard my wife doesn't want to go back to Athens because of some of the things you hear. And
I've heard some of the same things. So I've not experienced it, but I've heard it too many times to just say. And Auburn hasn't won there in a while.
No, you're right.
That makes a difference.
This series has been one-sided Georgia's way
incredibly
now.
Incredibly one-sided
this
of late.
Century.
Yes. And, I mean, Georgia's really been good. And under Kirby Smart, they've been extraordinary.
Yes.
And just looking at the – and I didn't bring my boards with me today because I was over at basketball all afternoon. But, Bill, I mean, it is – you look at the defense especially, it is nothing but preseason first-team All-SEC, mm-hmm. high school All-Americans. I mean, all the watch lists are there. I mean, I don't know how many times I wrote a note on their defense, their first-string defense, of guys that are preseason, first-team All-SEC, preseason All-American. It's across the board. And you look at this roster, and I'm not sure Auburn will face a team this year, a Power 5 team, where there are fewer transfers on this roster than they will when
they
face
the
Georgia
exception.
On Saturday.
Yes, they are definitely the exception. I mean, they have some players transfer out. They don't need to use the portal.
Correct.
and that's what you would like. You would like to be able to just pick
get the guys, get the guys, get your four or five stars, and that's what most of the Georgia players are.
Mm-hmm.
And then you develop them. And Georgia has done that, and Alabama has done that in the SEC. And hats off to them. That's the way it was originally designed. It's a different world now, and Auburn certainly had to go to the transfer portal this year. And will probably continue to do that as Hugh Freeze and this staff build back the roster with its four- and five-star guys that Auburn has commitments from right now for the 24 season. Now, listen, we got to get to December. Got to get to December and get the signatures at this point. But it's amazing. I don't know how – one of the things I always write as a note now is transferred from. And it's all the time. Almost every team that including Auburn and that Auburn faces. And this is one of the exceptions coming in here Saturday.
Well, this Saturday, I mean, Auburn's going to go in as a significant underdog. They're a 2-touchdown or so underdog. But this is a big Saturday for quite a few reasons.
Well,
you're talking about building talent.
Well,
Hugh
Freeze talked about it Monday as much as he could. They're maxed out as far as their recruiting visits coming in here Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I get the idea that this is going to be one of those games where they're going to bring in the big players, the big recruits. I would imagine they'll do it again when Alabama rolls into town in November. But for the head coach to make mention of that in his press conference, and I don't know if it was asked of him at that point. Perhaps it was. You get the idea that this is an enormous weekend for recruiting at Auburn.
And that is one of the reasons where I know some fans are a little disappointed that it's a 2:30 game, not a night game. But it's an opportunity to, again, show the nation, as well as recruits and everyone else, you know, how exciting it can be at Jordan-Hare.
Well, and it will be exciting this Saturday. You know, is it going to be the result we want? I'm not sure at this point. It is going to be an electric atmosphere for the 2:30 game this Saturday. Our coverage starts at 11:30. Jan Cowart among our guests. Ed King will be joining us. Charles Barkley is going to join us.
Ah, that'll be fun.
Oh, my
God.
He's going to join us on the picks contest. I don't know how many picks we're going to get to with Charles there.
Doesn't matter.
Thursday night, we're at Baumhauer's for Tiger Talk, Q Freeze, soccer coach Karen Hoppe, Cam Stutz on the offensive line set to join us. That's confirmed. We'll have one more player out there Thursday night at 6 right here on over on FM 94.3. And then Saturday, our coverage starts at 11:30.
Looking forward to it, Andy. Thanks again for stopping in.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, back with hour number two here on the Tuesday Drive.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Bill and Drew here in the studio. Dan is over checking out Auburn football practice, another media viewing window going on. Our thanks to Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, stopping in for most of hour number one, as he does on Tuesdays. And we didn't get that much into previewing the Auburn-Georgia matchup. Just talked a little bit about the way the rivalry has changed, the feeling for it has changed a little bit. Love to hear from you, anything you want to talk about sports-wise. Reminder, Jake Crane of Crane & Company going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Dan should be checking back in following the viewing window and get his thoughts on, you know, what he sees out there at practice today. In the meantime, we've got some audio from Bruce Pearl. Today, Bruce met with the media, first day of basketball practice. We'll let you hear some of that in just a little while. But we'll get to the phones first as we get started here in hour number two, which is brought to you by the good folks at East Alabama, at the Orthopedic Center, East Alabama's go-to place for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And, yes, we'll get to the phones, 334-321-1390, and Tex is up first. Hey, Tex.
I always find some irony in the fact that I call sometimes right at the beginning of the second hour and get an orthopedic ad that you read.
Well, I mean, I probably should read it sometimes. Sometimes it's from memory and I forget where I am in the middle of it. But,
no, I just think about that and
I've had, the thing is, it's not like I haven't had experience with them either. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, a couple things about this rivalry. It was interesting to hear the talk. So, the first away game I ever went to when I was younger, this is when I was getting ready to go into high school, was at Georgia for the Auburn game. And I went to multiple games in Athens. So, I played summer baseball with John Lastinger and Buck Ballou with the Valdosta Red Sox.
Sure.
I had a friend named David Loper out of Columbus that went to the University of Georgia. We got it's always been friendly as far as – I mean, and we would always go.
Oh, you compete like crazy, but it never felt bitter.
No, it was never bitter. And I would tell you, the when we stopped going is my wife said, I'm never going to that place because I'll never go to a place where women stand up and bark like dogs. So I hate to say it that way. And by the way, that's also, they were playing in the SEC Women's Basketball Tournament, and that's where I asked my father-in-law if I could marry his daughter.
Oh, wow.
In a hotel lobby in Athens, Georgia.
That is, that's something you would definitely won't forget.
Yeah, and I grew up in Columbus, so I grew up amongst a large number of Georgia fans who are all still friends of mine. So I'm kind of the, for lack of a better term, this is what they call me. They call me the black sheep of my high school because I'm one of the few that actually went to Auburn, and most of them went to Georgia. So, anyway, I think it's really interesting. I think it's going to be difficult on Saturday. I just hope we go out and compete. I did hear a follow-up call that came in after I'd called yesterday, and I think it was Greg who had, and if I'm mistaken, I apologize, who had mentioned that a lot of people don't know anything about football. Bill, you've known me for a long time. You can speak for me. I know a hair about football and athletics and
yes you do, Tex.
It's several different. So my quote about the routes at 14 and 16 yards didn't come from me. Hugh Freeze said that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
That there were guys not running the appropriate routes instead of running 16 or 18 yards, they were running 14. It's designed. A lot of those routes are designed to use those routes to free up guys doing something else. So, and also, I will just tell you, I went back and watched a little bit of Daniels at LSU. His head never goes down unless he's about to run into somebody. His head is always up looking down the field.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, he runs straight up. You know, it's funny. I mean, he doesn't have much lean when he runs. He is straight up, but that head is downfield all the time.
He's extremely dangerous when he breaks contain and gets on the edge and gets toward the line. And a lot of people have talked about, well, we ran RPO against Samford. I think that doing that a little bit, and if we can get Thorne a little space to run a little bit, that frees up the ability, if he's looking down the field, to find receivers that historically run open during that time. But I will tell you, if you can't gain positive yards on first down, the two most difficult plays you're going to have the entire drive are second and third down, because they're coming after you. And George is going to run blitz a lot. I think they're going to play man on the outside. And
why wouldn't they?
They are going to attack. We're going to have to prove that we can throw the football on them and make them be a little bit honest. So I go back and watch the film from the SEC championship game last year. They did that for three quarters and had a huge lead, and then played zone in the fourth, and LSU picks up a few touchdowns. So they're going to attack, and we just have to be ready for it. I'm looking forward to it. I have a difficult ride to get there for this weekend, but my father-in-law's 1953 Louisiana State Championship team is being honored.
Oh, wow.
At his high school on Friday night. So I'll be there Friday night, but I will be in my section on Saturday.
Oh, man.
So, as will my bride. But I also heard today through somebody that we mutually know that they're honoring the 1983 team before the game on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right, because the 2013 yep. team will be for the Bama game.
Yes, correct. All right, man, I appreciate it. Love
all right,
the
Tex,
show.
Yeah, thanks take care. Get some rest. Get some rest on Thursday night.
Well, that's not going to happen.
No.
Okay. All right, appreciate it.
All right, take care, Tex. 334-321-1390. You know, something, and here's something else. Kirby Smart realizes how big a ball game this is for Auburn. I said Georgia has gotten off to slow starts. I think Kirby would like Georgia to get off to a quick start, try to, you know, cut down any atmosphere and enthusiasm that there is at Jordan-Hare on Saturday, because they're trying to get a lot of those guys that Auburn's trying to get as well that'll be in visiting on Saturday. 334-321-1390. Is it Jones is up next.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine. Being an old fella, short story. You remember 1986 when we had to turn the water sprinkler zone to get them off the field?
I absolutely do.
When they upset us? Well, the next year, you know, we went to Athens and everybody had little water guns. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. And and we got a little of the hedge, too, I think.
Yeah. Well, my wife and I were walking along in 1987 in Athens, and about six of the most inebriated Georgia fans came up to us, and all of them had squirt guns and just filled us up. And one of them got right in my face and started literally barking. She sounded, honest to God, like a Rottweiler. So, of course, me being the smart mouth that I am, I said, young lady, you must be the lead dog in the pack. Well, her boyfriend took a swing at me, and he was so drunk he missed and fell on the concrete and busted his elbow. And my wife and I just kept on walking, and she kept saying, are they going to chase us? Are they going to chase us? And I said, no, they're going to the hospital to fix that boy's elbow.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I love it, Bill. You had to be there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that was, you know, a lot of Georgia fans will point to that. I really felt like the blackout game was one where the fans got more into it and seemed like they were just more hostile all pregame. I mean, it was just nasty pregame and stuff leading up to that. I do know that there were a lot of Georgia fans that absolutely could not stand when Auburn won the national championship in 2010, and it had been 30 years since Georgia had won one. And I don't know what all happened in there, but that next generation of Georgia fans just for some reason they just hate Auburn, and it's made it really tough to enjoy going back to Athens.
Well, I'm gonna say something too. You know, everybody's been talking recently on different talk shows about how Kirby Smart built this thing in 2 years. But if you remember, Mark Richt had hellaciously good recruiting classes.
Oh, they were always top 10. They were always top 10.
And Auburn has been deteriorated by the pathetic last few years of Gus Malzahn and the potato guy, but there is no comparison to the
not at all. It's not even close.
Versus where Kirby
nothing.
And
I mean,
and nobody knows that, but a few of us.
Oh no, I mean people that would say, well, Nick Saban was competing in his second year, and yeah, Alabama had a lot, so much more talent. This is not even. It's not even close. There's nothing you can compare this to that Georgia talent that Kirby took over when he came in. Nor LSU. I mean, you know, there's some schools, and Hugh talked about it. I mean, some schools that have just recruited extremely well year after year after year. Auburn was on the periphery of that, you know, before Gus's last couple of classes. I mean, Auburn was a team that would be around the top 10. If not in the top 10, they'd be like number 12. But they'd get up to, you know, number 7. It would be good. And if you could, you know, you might have a chance if you really played well with that kind of talent. But with the talent that Auburn has not been bringing in for the last few years, no, it's going to take a little longer. And the transfer portal, thank goodness for that, as far as Auburn's concerned, because – this team would not have been able to be competitive without the transfer portal.
Absolutely. And the last thing I want to make is I hope our linebacker number 9, bless his heart, Eugene,
yep.
I hope he puts a kill shot, that's rude. I hope he puts a nice form tackle on that hunchback number 19 they got. Just lay him out one good time for us.
And don't let the
lad boy beat you deep. For God's sakes, guys, don't let him beat you deep for the third year in a row, please.
Well, at least Auburn's not the only team he's beaten deep, but you're right. That is that's something you don't want to see again. Appreciate it, Jones. Great stuff. 334-321-1390. And Sam is up next. Hey, Sam.
Hey. I don't know if you've talked about this yet, but have you discussed the last Ole Miss drive, like where like they had the ball with like 8 minutes to go and basically toss the game?
No, I have not. As a matter of fact, I didn't get a chance to see that. We were tied up in traffic. So I mean,
yeah.
I wasn't, and honestly, by that time I was looking for other things to listen to. So tell me about
it. Yeah, so Ole Miss got the ball back with about 8 minutes to go, and like they proceeded to like run the ball and like take a bunch of time off the clock,
not to lose more badly because they didn't want to take chances. So you know that I'm sure that had to be the feeling for a lot of Rebel fans or non-Alabama fans watching.
Yeah, and I just think that's kind of an indictment on Lane Kiffin. Like I feel like he's done that before. Like he's not really a great in-game coach at times. Like, he can call good plays.
Oh, he's a great play caller. You're right. But
yeah.
But there are other things that definitely, you know, you have to feel like are lacking.
Yeah. And, like, he was only down by, like, 14 at that point. Like, it was within the realm of reason that they could come back and win that game. But he just looked like he gave up. Like in terms of like the plays that they were calling,
mm-hmm.
I thought that was kind of strange, and I wanted to bring it to your attention.
Probably it wouldn't be the strangest thing about Lane though, so I'm not completely surprised. I'm glad you called.
Yeah,
thanks. Sam. 334-321-1390. We'll get to Jerry before we get to our first break of hour number two. Hey, Jerry.
Hey guys, I just wanted to mention I took my daughter to see Pat Sullivan in my first away game at Georgia. And we won. And
was that the 35-20 game?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she called me the other day and said, what's wrong with Auburn? And I said, a lot.
Yeah, it's a long story. It's not just a this year.
Yeah. And she said, if they don't play better against Georgia, I'm going to have to leave town.
Well, that's a tough task against these guys, let me tell you. I mean,
yeah,
Auburn's working, trying to get better. Georgia is there. Just like Hugh Freeze said, they are the gold standard right now.
They are. And, of course, she's married to a Georgia fan. So.
Oh, well.
That makes it even more
makes it tougher. Yeah, I'm sure.
All right.
All right. Thanks,
Jerry.
All right. We'll get to our first break. Dan's with us after the media viewing window, and we'd love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
It's time to stop dealing with unreliable network copiers, printers, and...
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
All right, cool. So yeah, it was a... I mean, it was the nice weather. I mean, you saw... You know, I don't know if there's any breaking news to report from the practice, but it was interesting to see. You know, I'm thinking Holden and Robbie were a little bit more, but they're not going to show us anything too drastic on that front. I came away thinking it's probably going to be Peyton Thorne on Saturday, but you know, I kind of went in there thinking it was going to be Peyton Thorne too.
Right. Yeah, it sounded, and I've seen a couple of notes put out there. The good news is that some of the guys who were banged up the other day and had to leave the ball game, obviously not Damari Alston, but the other guys looked like they were practicing.
Yeah, I think that the injury report seems to be a pretty glowing one at the moment. I mean, you hate the Damari Alston news, but it sounds like Auburn is going into Auburn is going into the Georgia game pretty healthy.
That's good. I mean, Auburn's going to need as much help as they can get against this Georgia team. We were talking about it with Andy. You know, the atmosphere should be great. I know it's not a night game and Auburn's coming off a loss, but it is Georgia, the oldest rivalry in the Deep South. And I mentioned a little bit ago, hey, Kirby Smart knows how big this is for Hugh Freeze, too. He'd like for his Bulldogs to get off to a quick start to try to, you know, shut the crowd up.
Yeah, I mean, it's a road test. There's still some Georgia players that haven't played that many true road games, you know, especially the first-year guys. So the guys getting their first taste as real contributors there for Georgia. So, yeah, it's going to be important for Georgia to I mean, I said this about Auburn against A&M. I believe it's true in this game as well. And Georgia, with the winning streak they've got and the expectations and the fact that this is a rivalry that dates back as long as it does, the longer this game is close, the more you start to think Auburn can open the door in the fourth quarter and pick the lock and win this game. It's just a matter of keeping it within striking distance. Georgia's not a team you want to be down 14 against.
No.
Georgia's not a team you want to be down, early in the game against, where it throws you off your game plan. Like, that seems like you're playing right into their hands as a team that will take care of the ball and just strangle you as a defense. Like, that's Georgia's game plan, and Auburn's got to do whatever they can to disrupt it.
Absolutely. Dan, tell you what, are you heading back?
Yeah, I'm gonna be in the studio in a few minutes.
All right. Well, I tell you what, we've got a little window to try to run a little bit of Bruce Pearl, so we'll let you head on in and we'll run a little bit of Bruce, and then you and I'll be able to speak with Jake Crane in just a few minutes.
All right, sounds good. Bill, talk to you soon.
All right.
Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill and Dan in the studio, Drew at the controls, and right now, time for our regular weekly visit with our good friend from Crane & Company. That is Jake Crane. Jake, how you doing today?
Man, doing good, guys. Excited for another what should be a great weekend of football. There's some sneaky good matchups.
Yeah, before we get into those, got to get your thoughts on this past week. And it was a struggle for Auburn offensively. That's putting it kindly.
Yeah, you know, and this is something we've talked about on Crane & Company, and I tried to warn Auburn fans, listen, it's when you're building it like this, and the optics were really bad offensively. I'm not sitting here making an excuse, and we'll get into what the problem really is, in my opinion. I think a lot of you agree with me. But you're gonna have to take your lumps early. it needs to look better than that, but what I did like was the guys fought. I thought the defense really stepped up. The saddest part is A&M gave you a chance to hang around in that game, mm-hmm. and I'm sure we're about to get into it, but offensively there's a problem at quarterback.
Right, and that's where I think a lot of folks, you know, that was the main takeaway from Saturday, at least offensively. And that's something that surprised me, Jake, because I thought Auburn would seem more overmatched across the board when you think about how A&M is recruited and how Auburn is recruited, what they've worked to do. I was worried about the line of scrimmage. I was worried about receivers being able to get open. And it's not like those groups played flawlessly either, because Hugh Freeze had a lot to say about the play of his offensive line and his wide receivers. But, you know, from the beginning, and I think especially when the game felt close, it was Auburn not getting the kind of production I was expecting from the quarterback.
Yeah, and listen, when you go back and watch the tape, and I know that I'm sure the coaches did, obviously, here's what I didn't expect from Peyton Thorne. I knew he wasn't going to be the greatest athlete ever. He didn't have the greatest arm of any Auburn quarterback ever. He's not the fastest of any Auburn quarterback ever. But I didn't think he'd come out and, for lack of a better term, guys, play scared. I don't know another way to put it. And if you watch, you have A&M. I thought the offensive line held up a lot better than what people are giving them credit for in the past game. I thought Auburn ran the ball well enough to have a chance to win the game.
Yep.
But when you don't even get to your second read and you're already trying to run away or fall down, you played 3 years in the Big Ten. You're a coach's son. And look, there were times where the pressure just got to him quickly, and that happens. But throw the check down, man. You go back and look, Auburn has receivers running open. He just wouldn't get to his second read because he was nervous about getting hit. You know, it's like being a wide receiver going across the middle. You're going to get hit either way. You might as well catch the ball. But I was very surprised that Peyton Thorne didn't stand in there and try and grab the money and at least get to the check down and give the offense a chance. I thought that was one of the most lackluster. It looked like to me, he couldn't wait to get to the sideline and tell somebody what went wrong, when in fact, you got to hang in there, man. It comes with a position you know better, and if you're too nervous or you're too scared, sit on the sideline and put somebody else out there that's going to give somebody a chance. Because I feel bad for those guys up front that are having to headbutt a 300-pounder every single play, or those guys in the slot having to run up against those linebackers and stuff like that to have the quarterback just fold like a cheap IKEA tent and stare at the rush the whole time. You can call it being distracted. You can call it not going through your reads. Oh, boy, was shook. Let's be honest. And it doesn't get any better because George is coming to town. And I think it's tough to put a guy back out there when you put that on tape.
Yeah, you know, Jake, and I don't, you know, whether it was nerves or, you know, like, to me, Peyton Thorne's lack of ability as an improviser that we've seen thus far through two games is surprising because he played 30 games of major conference college football before coming to Auburn, and feels like that's more important than ever before, being able to keep the play alive when things break down and being able to keep your eyes downfield and extend the play. And if you don't have a quarterback who can do that, let alone, I mean, not to mention there were times in the game where you had a pocket and an open receiver and the ball didn't get there. But there were also, like you said, the times when the play broke down inside the pocket and Peyton Thorne didn't seem to have a plan B. And I wonder the shelf life of a quarterback that can't do that.
Well, Dan, it's one thing if you're not athletic enough to move around and you're trying to improvise. I'm not asking you to be Johnny Manziel. I mean, Kirk Cousins runs a 5.5 40, but he'll hang in the pocket and keep his eyes downfield. You know, again, it's not as much extending the play or making the great play. It's giving yourself a chance. Every pocket's not going to be clean. But there were times, there was one time where Texas A&M brought a nickel pressure and the back released right into the pressure. They brought it from depth. Peyton Thorne could have just tossed the ball out to him, but he sees the rusher and he just goes down or turns his shoulder or something like that. To me, you were scared, man. That's what it was. It's not about a bit. That's what shocked me the most. You played 3 years in the Big Ten. That's not a walk in the tulips with some of those defenses, but you shut it down. You turned down the money because you didn't want to get hit. And that, to me, is almost unforgivable.
You mentioned the defense. I thought the defense has continued to play well. It's actually been a bit of a surprise. I was concerned about Auburn stopping the run heading into the season. Maybe Auburn's running game is pretty good. Maybe they do need to run the ball a little bit more. I don't know that you can be nothing but run. You're going to have to throw the ball some.
Yeah.
But they've got to do things. I don't know that there's another team that the stat that we've talked about and we've seen, the fact that Auburn hasn't thrown for over 100 yards against five straight Power 5 teams. Is there another team in the country that has that terrible stat? I don't think there is.
And that's not all on Hugh Freeze. Like, obviously, that
well, of course not.
Back in the
He's
last
only played
year,
two at Auburn.
That's bad, man. Like, that's like, hey, you know, we cheer for Army or Navy bad. Like, at this point,
they'll hit a 50-yard pass every once in a while that'll put them over 100 in a game.
So I get Jake.
Yeah, you'd take a screen and pop it, you know, at some point for a big play, but. Here's where Auburn's problem is. The defense, gutsy. Absolute gutsy performance. My hat's off to those guys. I didn't love when they would rush three, but all in all, Auburn's defense gave them a chance to win the game. But here's the problem. I don't, outside of running a true triple option system, like Army runs, all right, or like we see Navy run, or Air Force who runs it 95% of the time, you have to have some semblance of balance. Even in this RPO system, because right now if I'm playing Auburn, I don't believe you can throw it. And I'm going to man up everywhere. I'll load the box if I have to, and you're going to have to prove to me that even on the RPO, if we overplay it a little bit, that you can throw the ball and catch it. Because that's Auburn's biggest problem. But when you don't, here's where Auburn, at least to this point, made their biggest mistake. You missed on the quarterback in the transfer portal. You missed. Like, you got to call a spade a spade. So, but it's not about what happened. It's what you're going to do about it. Now, I'm assuming they're going to try and trot him back out there. And if he does that, I'm scared, pretty boy stuff again. You got to pull him after the first drive. And look, I'm sure Peyton Thorne's a great guy. I'm sure he goes to class. I'm sure he's a guy you'd want dating your daughter. But I don't want this man sitting in the pocket and making decisions if he's going to be terrified, if it's like he's in the Tower of Terror every time he catches a snap in the SEC. So do you put Robbie Ashford out there and say, listen, we'll run it most of the time, run our RPO stuff, try and pick our spots where to throw it and hope he improves? Or do you put Holden Gariner out there, who's not ready, but he throws the best ball on the team, but he can't run? So you're taking away one of the most important elements of the RPO. You missed in the portal at quarterback. And I have the luxury of being able to say that. You know, if you're Hugh Freeze and that staff, you got to keep the guys up. And, I mean, at this point, you know, do you give Peyton Thorne another chance against Georgia and say, hey, listen, go out there and prove him wrong, bud? And I just – it's a tough spot, man.
I wonder, Jake, how much of – especially with it sounding like it's going to be Peyton Thorne on Saturday, how much of the blame for Peyton's performance internally is going to the game plan and what they decided to do? Because I do wonder if they feel like they can put Peyton in a better situation. Now, like I said, there were times when he had a pocket and an open receiver and the ball didn't get there, let alone the number of times he was sacked on Saturday. Is there an adjustment you think they can make offensively that gives Peyton a better shot against Georgia than what they were doing on Saturday against A&M?
I mean, there's not a lot of great choices when the guy can't get – he wouldn't even throw the check down, Dan. He wouldn't even give himself the opportunity to throw the check down. So, like, from a coaching standpoint, outside of saying, look, we're either just going to run it 80% of the time, which is not a good answer, even though I think Auburn's offensive line has overperformed in the run game, to be honest, or our passing game is going to be a lot of quick game, or we're going to snap it and throw fades, like, and where it's a one-read thing. But there is not an offense built in the world that has any sort of semblance of a passing game. Like, this passing game is more in-depth than Gus Malzahn. People just can't see it because Peyton won't get into the second read. I mean, Jay Fair, look, I will take the overthrow. I will take you missing on the throws if you're at least making the right reads or giving yourself a chance to get to make the right read. But when you don't do that, you don't have a chance at all to move the ball through the air. So, I mean, you can try, but a lot of this is and it's more than one guy typically in football. That's why it's the greatest teams forever. But a lot of that was on Peyton Thorne being absolutely terrified anytime there was any semblance that it didn't go perfect up front. You can't live like that.
And I try to give the benefit of the doubt to the quarterback, too, because of how easy it is to blame the quarterback when an offense doesn't look good. I think there have been times in the past where Auburn quarterbacks were maybe scapegoated unfairly for an offense that had a lot of problems. Yeah, sure, you know, but at the same time, I've seen Peyton Thorne play in two Power 5 games as Auburn quarterback, and a lot of what you would expect from a guy with that many career starts in the Big Ten hasn't been on display just yet.
Yeah, well, listen, again, if you're making physical mistakes, like if your arm's just not good enough, or you're just not accurate enough, or you're just too unathletic to run this RPO thing, that's one thing. But we've seen Peyton Thorne, man, against Samford, he'll stay in there and deliver the pill. You know, against UMass, he'll stay in there and deliver the pill. But you throw Texas A&M at him, you throw Cal. I mean, he turned the ball over his first drive at Cal, getting hit on the sideline, basically tossed it to the guy. Like, at some point, you're either going to do it or you're not going to do it. But I am shocked that the reason that Peyton Thorne may not work out at Auburn is because he's afraid.
Well, Jake, with the one more thing about Peyton Thorne before we move on, because there's a lot of football to discuss here. But like, what worked at Michigan State when he was successful? Like, what do you know about Peyton Thorne's Michigan State tenure, especially the 11-win season? And how different is that from what Auburn is asking him to do right now?
Was it all Keon Coleman?
No, because Auburn doesn't have the best receivers, but they've got some guys that are capable. The guys on the outside need to play better. But he would stand in there and play quarterback. He's not playing quarterback right now. He's just the guy that catches the snap, and if the first read's not there, just – you know, try and finagle your way out of it or go down. Like, watch him at Michigan State. It's a totally different guy. It's like he came into the S, and it's not like the Big Ten has small guys on defense, or they got a bunch of just slow guys running around out there. There's some monsters in the Big Ten. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, do you have the yips? Like, are you like Chuck Knoblauch at second base right now? Like, do you just got the yips? That's about the only thing I can attribute it to, because he looks like a totally different guy.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't make sense, and I agree with what you're saying, and it sure feels like he's going to be rolled out there first on Saturday against a Georgia team that comes in with a long winning streak. And
oh God,
hey man, I was talking about this a little while ago. We had, you know, Andy Burchard was here in the studio and was talking about what a big day it is for recruiting. Hey, Kirby knows that too, and Kirby would love nothing better than to see the Bulldogs reverse that slow start, get off to a fast start, shut the crowd up, and try to tell recruits, no, you don't even need to consider Auburn.
Yeah, well, they took the training wheels off Carson Beck going in the second half of that South Carolina game. They've started to open up the offense a little bit more. And listen, here's the question, though. It's one thing to play that game at home. This is Carson Beck's first big start on the road. Right. Are they going to protect him a little bit?
It's their first road game of the year, first trip.
Yeah, like I think they're going to try and protect him early. You know, you do have Ladd McConkey coming back. You're going to see a lot of runs from Georgia. You're going to see a lot of quick game to Brock Bowers, easy reads and things like that. And I think Auburn can slow him down early enough to see if the offense can have some semblance, just some semblance of life, something. And here's the great part. You got one of the best kickers already in the country. That's the craziest thing. I mean, McPherson hit that 52-yarder like he was eating Cheerios at breakfast, like at A&M. So there's going to be opportunities for Auburn early. They just got to find a way to have some sort of balance on offense. And I with Peyton Thorne out there right now, though, I don't know how you do that. And with Robbie Ashford, he doesn't throw well enough for you to sit there and say, all right, let's just open the whole Waffle House menu and throw the All-Star Special at him.
Jake.
So I just – it's going to be interesting, man.
Jake, if you were a voter in the AP poll, who would be the number one team in America right now?
I'm still putting Georgia up there. I'm still putting Georgia up there for a couple reasons. People say, oh, well, they don't have the best resume this year. They haven't looked the best. What Georgia's really good at is developing as the year goes. They get better as the year goes on. So I'm not going to punish them. And it's not like they lose players and then they're just bad. I mean, they reloaded like it was nothing, and they've got some really good players again this year. Who do I think has the best resume right now?
Well, I'd say, yeah, who would you say? State. Yeah, I was going to say, who would get your number two vote if Georgia's won?
Michigan. Michigan would get my number two vote. Michigan would get my number two vote. Texas would be at three, and Florida State would be at four.
No, who's the best team in the Pac-12?
Oregon. We had them at 5. We actually did our power rankings today, and we had Georgia 1, Michigan 2, Texas 3, Florida State 4, and Oregon 5. I think Oregon's the most balanced team in the
Pac-12. I love the Washington offense. I don't know if USC's got the defense to beat the very best teams, but there's some good football being played in that league right now.
That's the great part about the Pac-12 this year. We're going to find out because they've got to play each other, and there's actual good defenses, and I tell you what,
Cougs.
Watch out for Washington State, too, and Cam Ward.
Cougs,
they're
baby.
A problem.
Yeah, what a fun last year for the Pac-12 it is. Man, we have completely run out of time. Jake, let everybody know what you got going on, what we have to look forward to, and how, of course, they can find it.
Without a doubt. And listen, I know it sounds like I'm being hard on Peyton Thorne because I am being hard on Peyton Thorne, and I hope he figures it out. I'll be his biggest fan if he figures it out, but if it's my job to make you happy, I'd sell ice cream for a living, but I don't. I want Auburn to do well, and for them to do well, you got to stand in the pocket and deliver the mail, man. That's what playing that position's about. But, you know, if you want to talk college football, if you enjoy stuff like this, which I'm sure you do, that's why you listen to this show, head over to Crane & Company, C-R-A-I-N and Company. We're live each weekday morning, 6:30 a.m. to 8 a.m. Central. It stays on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify all day. Come check us out. We got live calls and a live chat. It's a lot of fun. And
man,
we tell
just,
the truth.
Just imagine Jake with some coffee. To get him going.
Oh, God, yeah. It's not. No, I mean, at this point, Bill, I don't even think caffeine has an effect on me anymore. I think it's just placebo now.
I hear you. Great stuff, Jake, man. Have a great rest of the week.
All right, buddy. You too.
Jake Crane joining us as he does. Always, always fun. We need to get to our final break. We'll wrap things up when we come back here on the Tuesday Drive. It's time.